This is the Eagles Live Podcast, episode 10. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining me, and we've got a lot for you in this podcast. You know, just when we kind of thought it would be slowing down, and the Eagles were going to indeed fully focus on the 2016 NFL Draft, along comes another signing. So before we get you caught up on everything the Eagles did at the NFL annual meeting in Boca Raton, Florida, we bring you the latest from the Eagles transactions page. The Eagles agreeing to terms this week with Reuben Randall, a wide receiver who played four seasons with the New York Giants. He caught 188 passes, averaged 14 yards a catch, 20 touchdowns in those 4 years with the Giants. In 2015, 57 catches, 797 yards, 14 yards per reception, along with a career-high 8 touchdown catches. Randall, 6 feet 2 inches tall, he's 208 pounds. He's been an inconsistent player since the Giants drafted him in the second round in 2012. He's been outstanding at times. In fact, against the Eagles, he's had some of his best games. But he's also struggled to provide that consistency the Giants were looking for. So New York allowed Randall to become an unrestricted free agent. He had some interest around the league, including a visit to the Rams, but instead agrees to terms with the Eagles, a one-year deal. And he joins a wide receiving room that includes newly signed Chris Givens, Jordan Matthews, Nelson Agholor, Josh Huff. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, as we talked about last week, the Eagles have something going on in their wide receiver room. We'll hear from Randall when he reports to the NovaCare Complex in April and signs his contract. So we welcome Randall to the Philadelphia Eagles and hope he finds that consistency as the Eagles build what they hope is a wide receiver group that is young and that develops together here in Philadelphia. Now let's get to the Boca Raton meetings, the NFL's annual meeting, a time for 4 days when the league gets together and talks about strategies, the state of the league, both on and off the field. They consider rule changes, and they just kind of sit around and have a good time. And it's a brotherhood of ideas and competition in Boca Raton, Florida. So during the show today, we're going to hear from Eagles president Don Smolinski. And one of the large initiatives of the league is bringing the players, the game, and the fans together. Fan engagement, a huge issue with the league. And Eagles president Don Smolinski talks about that with us a little later on. We also have a chance to take some of the things that Howie Roseman said on Monday to the media and put them into perspective. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson met with the media for 70 minutes on Wednesday, and he talked football, and more football. We'll get to some of the best of Doug Peterson. We also have Troy Vincent, who's the executive vice president of football operations with the league. He's also a former Eagle and a member of the team's Hall of Fame. He played with Doug Peterson in 1999 and offers his perspective on a former teammate, now a head coach. Let's begin the podcast with some words from Eagles chairman CEO Jeffrey Lurie, who met the media on Tuesday and talked about some of the developments since the Eagles have hired Peterson and gone into free agency. One of the keys for the Eagles in the offseason, of course, keeping this 2015 roster together, keeping some of the young core pieces in place. And the Eagles have done that. They've signed 8 players from the 2015 roster. And Lurie excited about the young, developing core the Eagles are building on this roster.
Key element in the whole thing was re-signing our best young players. We have a lot of really good young players. We wanted them all with us for the long run, but there is an opportunity, and we've always been, you know, trying to do this for years, whereas find and identify your best core talent. If they're really good people and good teammates, if they're good in the community and they're real talented, make sure you get them and be Eagles for a long time and get them early. You know, that's what it was with Lane. That was what with Vinny. That's with Ertz. And sometimes it's a re-signing of Selleck for a few years and signing Brandon Brooks because we identified a good young player at a position we've struggled with. Malcolm's been great, by the way, and re-signing Malcolm was big. Teaming him with Rodney McLeod, outstanding. I mean, very excited about that. Hopefully, and it's a tough position to find in the draft these days. We've struggled with it. Most teams have. Hopefully to have a really great safety core. But re-signing your best young players, I think, is still the best strategy for success.
In general, Lurie said he's really happy with what the Eagles have accomplished to date in the offseason. But he knows, and this is a constant theme from the Eagles, that there is a lot of work to do to get the football team to where everybody wants it to be.
Very, very happy with the offseason so far. We don't change coaches very often in this organization, but the transition with Doug has been smooth, outstanding, great communication, high energy. The staff that he put together, very excited about. I think we've. It's important to hire really good coordinators when you're a first-time head coach. That was a big key with Andy, with John Harbaugh and Jim Johnson, and really happy to have Jim Schwartz and Vip, who's outstanding. And Doug surrounded himself on offense with some real solid, talented guys who are play callers and thinkers, like Frank Reich and Flip and guys like that, and keeping stout. And it's a long list, but anyway, impressive coaching staff, outstanding communication and chemistry in the building, and it's just been sort of nose to the ground, and what Howie's been able to do is pretty outstanding in terms of a league that values salary cap space and draft choices, be able to make those trades, align our resources the way we preferred to move forward from there. Really, he's had a great plan, just did the right thing strategically, communicates outstanding with everybody, the scouts and coaches, and at the moment couldn't be more pleased. We have a lot more work to do. By no stretch are we satisfied. We've got a lot of work to do and a lot of opportunity to really improve the team, and it's great having the 8th pick in the draft as well.
Peterson held his roundtable conversation with the media on Wednesday, part of the NFC Coaches Breakfast, and during that time he touched on a number of topics, including the quarterback position, and again, very pleased with Sam Bradford, pleased with Chase Daniel, and not opposed to adding another quarterback to the mix at some point in this 2016 draft.
You're always looking. You know, you're always looking. I know this is you can always pick one up middle to late in the draft. You can pick one up in free agency. You can pick one up at the end of the draft. But again, you're still creating that depth at that position. So there is that chance that you pick one up.
What are some of the needs for the Eagles as they look ahead to the draft? Well, Peterson outlined some specific areas that perhaps the Eagles will fill.
There's holes at the offensive line position. You can never have enough offensive line. Secondary is always a key position, you know, around the National Football League. And as you know, the passing game has become sort of the staple. You know, a lot of yards, a lot of attempts. So you need guys that can cover. And then, you know, you look at linebackers. I think that's always a key position because they're always getting, it's a physical game. Guys that can run sideline to sideline. And then probably, for us personally, I think another one is getting some pass rushers. You know, with Jim Schwartz's style of defense, I think the pass rush is key to what he does on defense.
It was also interesting to hear Peterson talk about the offense and the way the Eagles played in 3 years under former head coach Chip Kelly. Tempo was the name of the game for the Eagles under Kelly all the time. It's something that Peterson thinks he can incorporate at specific and very strategic times for this Eagles in 2016 and beyond.
You know, the one thing that this group has learned in the last couple of years is how to play fast. Tempo of the game. I think that's a benefit for any offense, is to be able to play fast. I want to use some of that. They're used to that. They're comfortable. The no huddle system, the give the quarterback a little more freedom to be able to do more things in, say, a 2-minute type mode, you know, that hurry up tempo.
Howie Roseman had his time with the media on Monday, and during his conversation, the idea of running backs came up, and the idea that you can pick a running back at any time in the draft or even after the draft and have success. Not so, says Roseman, who said the Eagles have done studies that say the higher you pick a running back, the more value you put into him. Well, that pays off down the line.
It's interesting because we studied this. There's this narrative that you can get running backs in the 5th, 6th, 7th round and undraft the free agency. When you look back at the last 10 years of guys who are really in the top 10 in rushing, those guys are high picks. And so when you find the special talent at that position, that guy who can run the ball, who can pass protect, who can catch the ball out of the backfield, that's a unique weapon. And so I don't think the position is devalued. You know, talking to Doug, and obviously we come from the same school of Andy and what he can do with those kind of guys. And talk about Ryan and Darren, obviously you have them, but when you go back and really look at it, and shoot, I had some time over the fall to be able to do that, you see that really it is hard to get guys later.
The Eagles have the 8th pick in the first round on April 28th, and Roseman says this is a draft deep at some particular positions, mostly along the offensive line and the defensive line, and that's exciting to a team that believes in building from the line of scrimmage out.
I think the defensive line, interior defensive line, defensive tackle group, probably the best that's come out in a long time. And we've gone back and studied, what does that mean? Does that mean that you can get later into the draft and get a guy, or that everyone kind of tries to get their own guy? But it's a really interesting group of guys at the defense, interior defensive line for us, defensive tackle positions. And then you look through it, and the offensive line group's pretty good. The numbers that we have on our board is much greater than we've had the past couple of years. So I think those two positions kind of stand out.
The Eagles draft party will feature an appearance by head coach Doug Peterson, football activities on the field at Lincoln Financial Field, locker room tours, and a chance to meet Eagles players, alumni, cheerleaders, and swoop. Free tickets will be available starting Tuesday, April 5th at 12 p.m., that's noon, and are expected to go quickly. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/draftparty for tickets and details. One of the central themes of the NFL annual meetings, and a message repeated by Commissioner Roger Goodell, is how can teams improve fan engagement throughout the league, not only during the offseason, but during game days in stadium? What benefits do the fans who go to games have? It's a topic that Don Smolenski, Eagles president, spends a lot of time thinking about, so we have a chance to go one-on-one with Eagles president Don Smolenski, talking about something that is near and dear to his heart, fan engagement, and how to make that relationship even better. Don, for those who don't understand kind of the A to Z of these meetings, what from your perspective is valuable about these?
These meetings, I think, provide an opportunity for all of teams to come together in a collaborative environment, in a collaborative setting, to talk everything about, you know, rules changes to technology, to the fan experience, and really give everybody here an understanding of the breadth of what it is that makes up the NFL, that goes beyond just the game and the score on the field. And, you know, it's just a learning experience. It's an educational experience. And, it's something I look forward to every year.
What is the message from Roger Goodell to the teams as it pertains to the fan experience?
I think the commissioner does an excellent job of putting the state of the game into a perspective that you can relate to. It's a tone that is one that is reflective and appreciative and respectful of the popularity of the excitement around it. And then at the same time, he's also challenging and pushing us to be better in every way. And that he wants us to be better on the field. He wants us to be better in the community. And the fan engagement and the fan experience is one of his four pillars, and how we can continue to make that experience more valuable for the fans and for the season ticket members is something that, you know, we are open and opening our eyes to new ways and new opportunities to continue to do that.
So when you combine what you hear from Commissioner Goodell with what you hear through the course of the season from Eagles fans, how do you feel during the course of these meetings?
I feel really good about what we are doing with the Eagles and with our fans. You know, I think, the commissioner described it as that we are in the shared experience, I'll call it business, if you will. But, you know, for us, over the past several years, you know, we really immersed ourselves in trying to connect in a deeper level with all of our fans, not just season ticket members, but, you know, any fan that you encounter at any moment in time is an opportunity to engage and interact and share a common passion for something that, you know, means so much to the city of Philadelphia. And, you know, you always have to kind of keep that in perspective and be grateful for that and enjoy that moment and sharing that moment with that person, that fan, and, you know, just kind of continue to do that every day. So I really feel good about the things we're doing. I'm excited for the opportunities that lie ahead and what new ideas that we might be able to continue to develop that further.
Don, how much of your day do you spend thinking about ways to further engage and integrate the fans into the entire experience, not just what happens on game day?
You know, I think that what's nice is we've really adopted an approach that everybody in the organization is thinking that way. And so, you know, to say it, you know, it may not quite be 24/7, but I do think that all of our employees, all of our staff have embraced that approach. And so really there's, you know, almost 300 of us who have an opportunity at any moment, at any time to interact with a fan and make an experience with them. And so, you know, that exponential opportunity, I think, is just something that we have to continue to do so that we're all thinking about it. And it's not just something that I have to think about.
What are the challenges that the NFL faces in 2016 and beyond?
Oh, you know, I think that the league is looking ahead to several milestones that are down the road, from the 100th season of the NFL to the future of the CBA, the future of the television, the future of the game, and the future and what that might look like with all the changing and evolution in media and the way fans consume the world. And, you know, I think that it's well put it that presents opportunities and presents challenges. And, you know, we're just kind of continuing to push and be open to so that we can continue to be better and better each year and continue to grow the game.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Dave.
Former Eagles cornerback Troy Vincent, a member of the team's Hall of Fame, is now deeply ingrained in the NFL as the executive vice president of football operations. He was at the meetings in Florida, and I had a chance to sit down with Troy and talk about Peterson making the transition from a quarterback in the NFL and a former teammate in Philadelphia to the head coach here with the Eagles. And we also talked about some of the big picture ideas that the NFL has to improve player safety and improve the quality of the game in the NFL.
Troy, a lot of things going on in the league. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to talk about Doug Peterson, former teammate, now a head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Your thoughts on the transition for Doug?
Excited. You knew that Doug would always end up in this place. Didn't know if it would be Philly or some other franchise, but Doug was my teammate in Philly, one of Andy's protégés. He's come up through that tree from Green Bay to Philly to Kansas City. I think he brings a lot of the offensive philosophy. I really like the staff, to be honest with you. I really like when you see a young coach come in and put some talent around him on the both offensive and defensive side of the ball. Young coach, I would say adding wisdom around him was really nice to see with Coach Schwartz and some of the other hires. I think it puts Philly in a really good position.
You were across the room in NovaCare. Actually, at the vet, you saw Doug. You understand what he's all about, the troubles he had, the difficulties being put in a first-year head coach, trying to bring along a young quarterback at the same time. How did he handle all that pressure?
Doug has always been Doug, smooth under pressure. Doug is a listener, which I think is very important. And I think Doug understands the pulse of the players. Understanding the pulse of the players, understanding what you need to get done, both week in and week out, from Mondays to Fridays. I think Doug has an opportunity, because of the staff that he's assembled, to really bring back a competitive, both offensively, defensively. I think he understands, frankly, it takes a certain kind of coach to be successful in Philadelphia, both on and off the field. Understanding the dynamics and the demands of championship, bus, high quality, offense, defense, special teams. I think Doug is very aware of those expectations coming back to Philly.
When a new coach comes to town like Andy did in 1999, and you're sitting in that room, what do you want to hear from the head coach the first time he addresses the team?
That he's going to listen first, because obviously the coaches come in there because there were some things that went wrong, but there were a lot of things that were right. A coach that would listen, a coach that understands the community and the culture. What are you really getting into? Can you handle the demands of being in Philly? I love the fans, different from any other place that I've been, any other place that I've seen. But walking in, I never forget Andy's first meeting. He didn't have all the answers. He did ask us to give him time to execute his plan and to believe in his plan and his philosophy. But there's a certain way and tone that you say to get the players to buy in and say, okay, he's just not coming in and blowing everything up. Listen, learn, adjust, and we had success.
Do players ever look at other players and say, hey, this guy has a chance someday to be a head coach?
You can see it, especially if you've played, and at that particular time I was a veteran. You can see those dynamics, the way people handle themselves in the meeting room, the way they're actually coaching their coaches on the field, player coaches. You see that often, not in a lot of people. He was always one. You saw him, you know, when he was not just a starter, but a back, when he was backing up, when he was running scout team, you saw how he was commanding and making sure what the scout team, what they were doing, making sure they were efficient. But as players, you spot that very early.
Troy, these meetings are also about the state of the NFL, very healthy 2015 for the NFL. Your thoughts on where this league is heading in terms of the competitiveness on the field, player safety, and all these very important issues?
Well, I will start with player safety first. You know, it's been national dialogue year in and year out about the health and the safety of our game. And I must say that working in football ops, I'm on the front lines of player safety and competitive rules. The owners have taken the stance on what is in best interest of not just the game, but the wellness of the player. You know, with some of the new proposed rule changes, many affect the safety element, and obviously maintaining the high quality of competitiveness on the field. That's first and foremost. But we're now looking into 2020, you know, Vision 2020. Where is the league, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now, from playing surfaces to protective equipment? That's first and foremost.
Troy, the NFL has never been more popular. Why does it just keep getting bigger and bigger?
I think the game is great because you have the best coaches and the best players in the world. And it doesn't matter whether they're playing back at the vet over at Franklin Field. When you get the best coaches, the best players, and then you let them go. And I think that's why the game has evolved. It's so exciting. It's so emotional from city to city, is you're dealing with the best of the best.
Troy Vincent, Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Famer, we love you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Believe it or not, now is the time to start thinking about summer plans. And the best way for your kids to enjoy the summer is to spend it with the Eagles. In partnership with award-winning ESF Camps, the Eagles are proud to introduce the all-new Eagles Football Academy, featuring both football non-contact camps and cheerleading camps for boys and girls ages 6 to 14. Camps feature instruction from current and alumni Eagles players and cheerleaders, a behind-the-scenes tour of the Eagles facilities, top instruction from the region's finest coaches, and much, much more. Register your kids today for the official Philadelphia Eagles Football Academy summer camps. Visit eaglesacademies.com. Our press coverage this week has Sal Palantonio in Florida, covering the NFL as he does and paying a particularly close eye on the Philadelphia Eagles. In our press coverage, we revisit things with Sal Palantonio, ESPN.
Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Sal, the last time we spoke, Doug Peterson had just been named head coach. A lot has happened since then.
They have got their quarterback situation settled, and I think they're very happy with the combination of Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel. I happened to talk to Doug Peterson last night at the annual meeting party at the Beach Club, and he was really enthusiastic about minicamp coming up in April. Said that all the position coaches have reached out to the players, David, and they're going to get 100% participation. And I think he's infused the team with a sense of stability and enthusiasm about the 2016 season. And anytime you have a head coaching change, as you know, there's a sense of upheaval in your building. But I think in this particular one, because of the contrast between Chip Kelly and Doug Peterson, I think it's really important for Peterson to have calm things down, and I think the whole team is responding to that.
How important will his message be, that initial message, that initial impression when he addresses the team?
I think it'll be vitally important, but I think players want to see action more than hear words, especially given what's gone on here the last 3 years. And I think that's really Doug Peterson's strength. He looks like a coach. He talks like a coach. He looks like a football guy. He talks like a football guy. And I think that's going to go a long way.
So, Sal, the Eagles' strategy was to lock up the core pieces of the roster and then go into a free agency and be very decisive. They've done that. Your perspective on what they've done?
Well, two things stand out to me, David. One is they've bet big on Howie Roseman's judgment. They've laid out guaranteed salaries. Now, this is actual money they'll have to pay to players, over $180 million. That's a lot. The other is they wanted to bring back their core people, and they didn't want to go for the real big star name other than the guard from Houston, Brandon Brooks. So I think, you know, what they've tried to do is say, okay, we're going to invest big, but we're going to put the pieces together that we think will work without going for the big name star. We'll see how it works.
All right, so let's talk about some of those pieces, particularly Chase Daniel, who comes in as a backup quarterback, but says he wants to compete. We don't know a whole lot about him. What's the word out there in league circles?
The word out there is that he's somewhat pedestrian, can get the job done when called upon. Has had opportunities, albeit not very many, to win a starting job at the NFL level because he's been behind some pretty good players, first round picks. So I don't think he's competing for the starting job. This is Sam Bradford's team. I think it's going to be pretty clear. Peterson has made that case pretty convincingly to everybody, and I do believe it's going to be Bradford and Chase Daniel. I'm interested to see. We haven't really talked about it, but you know, it was obvious Roseman wanted to stabilize the team, then he wanted to get the pieces for Peterson, and then he wanted to make Jim Schwartz happy.
Right.
And Jim Schwartz was made happy by bringing some former players in who know what he does defensively, and I think that's really important. But it's not a very complex scheme, as you know. So I think the key thing for them is to turn around the defense. If they get 50% better defensively, they'll win the division.
And
I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked. After last season, it's a nice thing to hear. The division's wide open in your eyes, don't you think?
I think the division's wide open. I mean, you have a change in head coaching job, the Giants. Quarterback situation's totally unsettled in Dallas. They just signed Alfred Morris to play running back, who was a cast-off from the Washington Redskins, primarily because he couldn't stay on the field. So the Cowboys are in upheaval. You don't know what their signature is defensively. The Redskins give the Eagles problems, and they've got to solve that problem. And the way to do that, in my mind, is to make the defense 50% better. What has Schwartz asked his defense to do? Go get the quarterback and the linebackers, fill in the gaps left open by the defensive line, and then play a lot of man-to-man behind that. And be sound, but don't overthink things. Go get the quarterback and go get the football.
Now, you've seen a lot of player movement over the years, trades made, deals done. I'd like to hear what you have to say about DeMarco Murray going to Tennessee, Kiko Alonso, Byron Maxwell going to Miami, and the Eagles receiving draft pick compensation. What kind of a, if maybe you call it a coup from Howie Roseman, what kind of a job did he do there?
Coup, salary dump, take your pick. I think you had to get rid of those players. You had to get rid of DeMarco Murray. He was an unhappy, overpaid player. Kiko Alonso wasn't productive. Byron Maxwell was a bad fit and overpaid. For Roseman to clear out that salary cap money and that salary and make it available to other players, I think that wins friends. Forget about the fan base. What about your own locker room? Hey, they weren't earning their keep and they were overpaid, so now that money can come to me. I think that was a coup. I think you hit the nail right on the head. No question about it. We were just in the AFC coaches breakfast, David, and you heard Adam Gase try to do handstands, mental gymnastics, to explain how taking on Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso was a good idea. I didn't hear it in his voice, did you? I was hard-pressed to find a plausible explanation.
And the Eagles move up in the draft from 13 to 8. What kind of a difference is that in your mind?
I think it's a big difference. I totally agree with Howie Roseman. This is a 1 through 10 draft. And after that, it's a huge drop-off. Usually, most years, it's 1 through 15 or 1 to 16 or 18. You get to the middle teens, and then there's a drop-off. I think this is 1 through 10. I don't think there's a really great defensive player. There's no lights-out offensive player, no wide receiver or running back who's a real difference maker. There are a couple of good to solid offensive linemen. There's no Jonathan Ogden in this draft or Orlando Pace, guys who've recently gone to the Hall of Fame who were drafted very high in the first round as tackles. Those guys are not in this draft. So I think you needed to get into the top 10. And I think this team has got to pick the best player available without a doubt. And to me, if you're going to invest in going up to 8, and you know down the road you're going to have to pay this guy, to me it's got to be a corner if that corner is available. This team can't have enough corners for Jim Schwartz's defense.
Sal, you've seen the Eagles, and I think when we spoke earlier on the podcast, you talk about throwing back, or whatever the term was, getting back to the Andy Reid era and the way the team was built, structured then. So as you see it, how far away are the Eagles from getting back to where they are contending on an annual basis?
I think I called it back to the future.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Or Andy Reid 2.0. I'm going to trademark that, David.
I don't think you're the only one.
So, you know, I think bringing back that sense of stability and that comfort zone was important to guys like the owner and the executive vice president for football operations, Howie Roseman, to get a sense of stability in the building. What's the most important equation in this thing? Does it translate to performance on the field? If it doesn't, experiment gone wrong, Howie Roseman's out the door. If it does, you know, sky's the limit for this team.
What word would you use to describe the strategy the Eagles and Howie and Doug have employed since this change?
Normalized relations.
Yes. Stability, you keep using that word as well.
Yes. Stability, yeah. Normalized relations. Let's have normal relations with our fan base. Let's have normal relations with the media, who can get the word out to the fan base. But most important, you know, you and I know, I'm around NovaCare a lot, not as much as you are, but there was a toxic environment, for lack of a better term, in the NovaCare facility that needed to be cleaned up, you know, and I think that was very important, and I think they've got a long way to do that.
Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
A sad note to pass along this week: former Eagle Kevin Turner, who played with the team from 1995 to 1999, has passed away after suffering from ALS. Kevin Turner was 46 years old. He was a tough, hard-nosed player in the NFL, a fullback when the Eagles signed him after his time with the New England Patriots. Kevin Turner played with every bit of heart and desire in Philadelphia, and he epitomized what an NFL player should be. He was diagnosed with the disease in 2010, continued to battle it, and unfortunately has passed away at the age of 46. The Philadelphia Eagles send their love and condolences to Kevin Turner's family. Kevin Turner was 46 years old. We thank you for joining us on this Eagles Live podcast, episode 10. Thanks to Brian Thomas for putting everything together. We're back next week with the draft just 5 weeks away. It is countdown to April and the 2016 NFL draft. Thanks everyone for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.